Hey, am I on?
You are. Yeah. Thank you. That's great.
Marvellous. Well, great opportunity. Thank you. So we're going to look at what I'm going to call lockdown rules. And if you've got a Bible, look at 1 Peter chapter 4, starting from verse 7. And you might wonder how the Bible can have lockdown rules. And it really does have a fabulous list. But their lockdown might have been a little bit different from ours. Their lockdown might have been the persecution of the Roman authorities against the Christians. It might have been pandemics. There were pandemics in early Christian times, and there's been quite a lot of interesting research done recently about the response of Christians in those pandemics. But whatever it was, it comes to this passage of scripture that I'll read to you. The end of all things is at hand. Therefore, keep sane and sober for your prayers. Above all, hold unfailingly your love for one another, since love covers a multitude of sins. Practice hospitality ungrudgingly to one another. And as each has received a gift, employ it for one another as good stewards of God's various grace. Whoever speaks as one who utters the oracles of God. Whoever renders service as one who renders it by the strength which God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. As I begin, a big thank you to the Mitchells. I couldn't have thought of a better couple of songs that really enhanced. He must have been listening to the same Holy Spirit. So thank you, Mitchell family. That was wonderful. So if we look at this passage, we can see that there's a sense of urgency. The end of all things is at hand, a sense of the world is changing and we live in that time. And then he gives us four very simple principles or rules that might help us at this kind of time. And the first one is keep sane and sober for your prayers. And we know that prayer is the essence of releasing the influence of God. And I have shared many times here the picture of the magnifying glass, the picture of the torch, that when we pray, we don't make God love people more, but we do focus the love of God into situations, into people, and it burns away the dross. It's not causative when it comes to salvation, but it is strong influence, and it makes it easier for people to respond as the things that might hold them back are burned away. And as we pray too for our nation, we are hinted at by scripture that God gives more wisdom to our leaders and our rulers. And as we pray for injustice and the difficulties that we're experiencing right now in our nation, it releases God's grace. So this is definitely a time to pray. Above all, hold unfailing your love for one another. I was really impacted by the Queen's little talk where she said this: our streets are empty, but they are filled with love. And I think that's an extraordinary thing for her to say, that this amazing 94-year-old lady has caught an essence of something that's really profound, that as the hedonism has sort of receded because we can't practice it, the underlying Christian culture has slightly re-emerged, and the sense of the importance of people, the sense of love, the sense of reaching out. And I think we've all been amazed by the amount of practical love Christian and non-Christian alike are showing into our nation, demonstrating, and this is the way forward. We've just celebrated Pentecost. And Pentecost for me and the power of the Holy Spirit is always about the power of love. I've had a little saying for many, many years that Christian love begins when the feelings run out. You know, if you read Matthew 5 has got the scariest verse in the New Testament in it. I have it marked three pages ahead. Don't read the next page, because every time I read it, it is so powerful. And it says, love your enemies. Jesus says many people can love their friends, but you are called to go beyond your feelings. And that's the power of Christian love. I've got a new tricycle, and this teaches me something about love. And it's an electric tricycle, and it has what is called power assist. And what that means is that when your own strength runs out, when the hill is too high, you press a little button and you still got to pedal. You still got to do the right thing, but you get an extra surge of power, and it enables you to climb a hill that you would normally not be able to do. And that's the nature of Christian love. It's power assist. You still got to pedal. You still got to do the right things. But the grace of God gives you the strength to do those things that you couldn't possibly normally do in your own strength. And so this is the time for power assist, the time for us to reach out with this kind of love. Practice hospitality ungrudgingly. Well, of course, hospitality is often thought of as sort of an invite to me, but actually the nature of hospitality is always two things. It's about generosity. It's about us stepping out to other people. And in this COVID world, there's all sorts of ways that we can practice hospitality, an invitation for a cup of coffee in the garden, a gift to someone. This is a time for us to demonstrate. And I have this sort of feeling that giving needs to be on the agenda. I think that the world's going to get darker. I think unemployment could be horrendous. And there will be a time for Christians to care for one another in a way that we have not done before. And we will need to practice hospitality, generosity, and giving in an unparalleled fashion. So this is a good time for us to practice, that we need to think of ways that we can be generous to give and to help. But then it goes on to this extraordinary passage, which I have been preaching from for many, many years. As each has received a gift, employ it for one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. The essence of church is that we each have a gift, a talent and service that we should use for one another. And I believe that the particular essence of Network Church is we really believe this. We really believe that whoever has a gift, whether it's a gift of preaching or music or service or whatever the nature of that gift might be, that we should use it for one another in a spiritual format in church. That's not to say that we don't have gifts out there in the secular world, gifts to our neighbors, but we are to use it in this one another context, which is church. And I think sometimes people find Network Church a little hard to understand. Well, perhaps we just need to take them to this scripture. This is the essence of Network Church, that we believe in the body of Christ. We believe that each member has a gift, and we want to give space for them to share that gift in a one another context, be that a small group or a bigger gathering like this, and that way we go forward. But if we believe this, that we are stewards of God's varied grace, I think that gives each one of us a responsibility to identify and to develop our talent, whatever it may be. And again, I have been preaching this for nearly 20 years in one context or another, that I believe that people have all sorts of gifts. They have their vocational gifts by which they can earn a crust or two, and that's really important, and they need to develop those. But they have spiritual gifts, be it prayer, be it service, be it prophecy, be it demon casting out, be it whatever, be it youth work, be it on and on, the list may go. And I think there's a responsibility to develop. And one of the things that I think has saddened me over the years is that there is no culture of development within the body of Christ. We don't encourage people to develop their spiritual gifts. I like good food, and I like the Roux brothers. Two men came to England in the early 50s with the most talent to do cooking, to cook beautiful food. They could have kept their talent to themselves, opened two of the finest restaurants, the Gavroche and the Waterside Inn, and they could have kept this talent completely to themselves. No one else would have been able to cook fine food, and they would have had the market. But these two brothers decided that that's not what they would do. And they opened up a cookery school and a cookery scholarship, and they have trained nearly every great chef in this country was trained by these two men, because they knew that to take that talent and help people develop their talent. And I would love to see more people develop talent, but it has to be done intentionally. You have to write that talent down and say, what is the component parts? I've told this story, but in 1970s, I felt called to preach. And I wrote a list of what I needed to do. I needed to get my character sorted out because it was a mess. I needed to learn the Bible. I needed to learn what made good communication. I needed to learn what are the needs that people have in their lives. I needed to learn some of the skills of good communication and put that all together and teach myself. Now, because I'm an informal learner, I couldn't do that in a Bible school because I would never have survived the first essay. Can't write essays, can't do academics. But I can learn by other ways, by observation, by reading, by being a part around, and so can you. So whether you're a formal learner or an informal learner, each of us could develop our gift. If we put it on a piece of paper, we asked ourselves, what is the component parts of that gift? And we start to put in a development plan that would help that gift grow inside us. And again, I have observed that in some ways, I prefer a great, you know, gifts come in all sorts of capacities. One talent gifts, two talents. I'm a fairly talented communicator, but against Steve Chalk, I'm a mere amateur. I've preached side by side with Steve Chalk many times, and yeah, I'm just not in his class. He is of another class. But whatever our talent is, we develop it. And I have noticed over the years that I prefer people who have greatly developed lesser talent than those people who have done nothing with greater talent. And I see a lot of people with great talent who've done nothing. And I much prefer to see someone who had a little talent, but they have made the most of it and they're doing fabulously well with it. So COVID is about the COVID rules. It's about the Bible rules. Let us pray, let us love, let us practice hospitality. Let us develop the gifts that we have within us for one another and to use this time wisely. Amen.
Fabulous. Well, we've appreciated you developing your gift and using it amongst us this morning, Lawrence. That was